Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change. You know, for the past 5 years, I've closed almost every Circles of Change show by saying, if you're struggling with a difficult change in your career or life, start by helping someone else first. You may be surprised how much clarity and direction that lends to your own journey. And certainly, I have with me a second time here recently, Mr. Ken Budd on the line, who has manifested that in spades. How are you this morning, Ken?
I'm good. Thank you for having me again.
You betcha. Pleasure. Ken wrote, in fact, a terrific book that's a memoir. It's called The Volunteerist. It's a direct result of, frankly, I think, a real courageous journey in more ways than one to make sense out of losing his father and actually find his own destiny, or at least part of it, by volunteering in countries of need all around the world. And here's the key, not once, but six times, 2 weeks at a time. So not for the faint at heart, Ken.
Well, a friend of mine told me you only learn about yourself when you're outside your comfort zone, and I really tried to embrace that, and that was a big part of it.
That's a really good part about it. Ken's book, again, is called The Volunteerist. You can learn about it on www.thevolunteeristbook.com, and the subtitle, I love it, it's a six-country tale of love, loss, fatherhood, fate, and singing Bon Jovi in Bethlehem. You know, the topic I wanted to touch on today, not only to, of course, weave in some of the elements from your book, Ken, though, is a wonderful blog that you put up here recently called Seven Quick Ways to Help Others in Less Time Than It Takes to Roast a Turkey. So I like that one. And why don't you take it from there? You know, we've had Black Friday here yesterday, but now we're hopefully moving in a different place this week.
Well, there's Black Friday, there's Cyber Monday, and about I think it's about 1,000 organizations came up with Giving Tuesday as sort of a alternative to the gluttony, if you will.
Yeah, good. I like that.
Yeah, and I think it's something they're hoping will catch on as an annual thing.
And what's all about, then, Giving Tuesday?
Well, you know, for me, what I tried to come at it was, you know, this is such a busy time for people, you know, the holiday season, and it can sound daunting, like, how do you give back? And what really started it for me was this study I saw, which I cited here, was that just simply looking at someone, which takes, what, a second, can actually make people more feel more connected to other people. It was a study that was done by some folks at Purdue and others, and they found that just making eye contact with a total stranger makes them feel more connected to others around you. So to me, I started with that. Like, boy, all you have to do is look at somebody and acknowledge them as a human being, and it actually makes a difference.
And so that's one of the quick ways to help others is, number one, is to stare at a stranger in a friendly way, right?
Exactly. Not in a creepy way.
That's right. In a friendly way.
Right. So, and the other thing was something I had was not even aware of called micro-volunteering, which is very small, tiny ways to help others. It's usually online. And there's a site called spark.com that does this. The UN has a site, unv.org. And it's just as simple as, you know, finding a subject that you have some sort of skill level in, and you can do it on your own time and usually, as I said, online. And I found one example is a group that does some work for people in Nepal, and they just needed somebody to kind of track stories on Nepal for their website. So that was one thing I looked into. I thought, well, that's easy enough to do. Just get Google Alerts. And so it's great that you can do it kind of on your own time and at your own pace and your own place.
So this is, so I think, and you characterize this as take a giblet-sized view of volunteering. I think that's
right.
A smart way, because many times people feel, well, I can't possibly sign up for that committee, or if I even let my interest be known, they're going to grab me for more hours than I can possibly consume. But,
well, that's the thing. Everyone is so busy, and so how do you find time for this? And one thing I learned from my own journey volunteering was the smallest of gestures can have big impact, and especially if we all do it, then they become really big impact things. So I found that again and again.
Well, I love your next one on your list, because you did find this to be the case, that you volunteered in one environment where you couldn't possibly think you had any skills, but just showing up was what the gift was.
Yeah, that really surprised me, and it was in Costa Rica, and I really had two kind of revelations there. I taught English at an elementary school, but there were national holidays, and so we spent 2 days in a local shanty town, and it was you know, no electricity, no running water, and we mainly just played with the kids, and I, you know, it was great, but I remember asking a guy later, like, well, how does that really do anything? And he said, well, you have to realize most of the people there were Nicaraguans who had come across the border, and he said, these people have been marginalized, and so gringos are very respected, and when you come to the community, that makes a statement that these people have value, and it shows them another way. And the other thing I was told is in a lot of third world countries, parents will send their kids to school rather than to work just because a foreigner is there. Because mm-hmm. if a foreigner is there, well, there must be something going on. So you can quite literally make a difference just by showing up.
And you know something, I think, for any people that organize things here in our own native countries, in your community, in parts of town that might not be as well benefited as others, that just by coming there, it lifts the energy of the place to a new sense of hopefulness.
Yeah, and I had an experience that day. I played baseball, it seemed like, with every child in Central America over those 2 days. But there was one little boy, and we played for a couple hours, and I told him in my very limited Spanish, I said, you know, You're very good at baseball. And this kid just beamed, and it almost caught me off guard. And I kind of realized later, this is a child who's probably not used to getting a lot of affirmation. So, again, it's an example of just a very small act of kindness that can radiate with someone.
Although I do like how you closed in your blog here. You said number three was to do nothing, but... You know, as long as you're doing nothing, you could stop watching the football game and go help with the dishes.
You know? That's right. Yeah, you can only take the do nothing so far.
So far, exactly. So number one was stare at a stranger. Number two, take giblet-sized view of volunteering. Three was do nothing. Number four.
Well, you can actually play games that will help fight hunger. There are sites.
Really?
There's one for pets. It's called freekibble.com. And you answer a daily trivia question, and it doesn't matter if you get it right or wrong, just playing. The site donates 10 pieces of food to help pets at animal shelters. And the interesting thing about that site is it was started by a girl who I think was 9 years old at the time mm-hmm. and had this idea and has pursued it. And there are sites like this. There's one called charitywith2eyes.com, and they help out organizations such as the Nature Conservancy and the Philippine AIDS Society. And there's also one called freerice.com, where you answer quiz questions on whatever subject you choose. It can be vocabulary, human anatomy, and every time you get an answer right, the site sponsors give 10 grains of rice to the UN World Food Program. And so far, they've helped feed thousands of people in Uganda, Cambodia, Bangladesh. And I played some on the site, and it's funny, when you first start, I was like, oh, well, this is almost like too easy, but it gets harder.
That will bring you to your knees and the kind of so isn't this interesting, this idea of playing up to the competitive nature of us as human beings to go play the game that then's going to net. And my guess as well is as people get involved in playing these games, they're also learning the story behind where that benefit is going to go, so that hopefully they'll look or be more mindful of other ways they could give and donate.
Yeah, I think it's that, and it's also just getting you in the mindset through something as simple as playing games of, again, some sort of small way to give back, and it gets you starting to think about, well, how many grains of rice have I donated today? And it kind of gets the habit started.
Well, that's interesting because, of course, we know the computer gaming business is the most explosive story in history. History will go back to talk about that for sure for years on end, and that how now companies are using gamification for leadership development, or we know the entertainment factor for us professionals. If there's a game, then we pay attention. If not, well, maybe we're off doing something different. But here to see that also playing gamification in the whole area of philanthropy, it's a logical match, and good for that 9-year-old that made that happen.
Yeah, and that's another, you know, there's always a lesson somewhere, and there's another one that, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, if you have a good idea and you're willing to pursue it, you can make it happen.
Yeah, that's right. So number five was raise money while surfing the web. Now, if you have another one that says raise money while playing computer games, now I got my kids' attention here. So while surfing the web, Ken Budd,
well,
tell us about that.
There are search sites like GoodSearch.com where you every time you make a search, it's powered by Yahoo. Money will go from the advertisers to various charities. So just doing a simple Google type search will result in charitable donations. And there are also sites like GoodShopping.com, GoodDining.com, iGive.com, where it's kind of the same thing. With Good Shopping, as you shop, you know, they'll provide money to charities. And there's one that also rounds off, I'm sort of getting ahead of myself, but they round off money you spend and use the shavings to help go to charity as well. So if you spend $1.90, 10 of those cents will go somewhere else as it rounds up to two.
You know, what an interesting thought. And the motivation, obviously the connection of doing good to do well. You know, you do well by doing good. I think I had that flipped. It's all part of that connectedness. So that one is the idea of turning deals into donations then.
Right. You can print out coupons at a site called commonkindness.com, and you print out a coupon, you use it in the store, and the company then pays the site an advertising fee, and part of that goes to charities of your choice. And there's also swipegood.com is the one I was just talking about, where it rounds up to the nearest dollar, and that difference goes to charity as well.
Isn't that interesting? And we're speaking with Ken Budd, by the way, who's the author of the book The Volunteerist, and his recent article, 7 Quick Ways to Help Others in Less Time Than It Takes to Roast a Turkey. And number 1 was to stare at a stranger. 2, take a giblet-sized view of volunteering. 3, do absolutely nothing. 4, play games to fight hunger. 5, raise money while surfing the web. The one he just mentioned was turn deals into donations. Number 7, just think about giving.
Yeah, this is interesting. This was another study, and it found that if you're just thinking about giving, it actually helps you motivate, mm-hmm. helps motivate you to help others. And what they did was they had test subjects, and they wrote journal entries about their experiences giving to others. And that was one group. And another group wrote about things they'd received. And the people who wrote about their experiences giving were more likely to be generous. And then we've seen studies, I mentioned one in the book, where helping others, it lights up the same part of the brain like that happens when you experience pleasure. So there is a physiological response to being generous and kind and helping others.
And so the message here, the practice that you suggest to people is actually perhaps create a journal and 15 minutes a day, whatever it might be, to journal some of these thinking about giving.
Yeah, and you know, I just saw a survey this morning that was done in Ireland, and it was like 79% of the people they spoke to said that they responded in a more favorable way to just genuine acts of kindness, like giving up your seat on a bus,
yes.
and to something that cost money. And again, it just gets back to this idea that small gestures have impact.
I had a recent conversation with a woman who was dealing with a devastating loss of her 3-year-old who contracted croup and in that day passed on. And she mentioned how, coming out of her own sense of grief, she realized it was when people were being kind to her that lifted her from that place. And it started with someone who picked up her car keys, I think, when she dropped them. And she was so overwhelmed with gratitude that he picked up her car keys for her, that simple act meant the world to that person and guided them to that next step. And that certainly doesn't require us to pick up a check, right? It doesn't require
right.
us to go yank Buffelgraff out of the desert, which is a popular thing here in Tucson sometimes to do from an
yeah.
environmental stand. Not that we shouldn't look for times to do all those other things. You know, Ken, your own story here then of writing the book, The Volunteerist, tell our audience, for those who might not be familiar with your work.
Well, the book came about because of, it was a couple things. You know, I was approaching 40, which is kind of midlife crisis time. My wife and I didn't have kids. I was really struggling with that. And then my father died. My father died very suddenly. He was playing golf and just collapsed. And he'd been retired about a year. And the funny thing was, after that, people who worked with him and people who knew him started writing us letters and saying, you know, your father really changed my life. And so you start reading these letters, and you realize how quickly life can change, and it affected me. And I thought, well, what are people going to say about me when it's my turn?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was driven partly by that and just a desire to try and do something in life that mattered and to try and find my purpose, which I think we all go through at more than one point in life.
Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is, though, you're affiliated with an organization, with AARP, and particularly their magazine. For now over 15 years, it has over 30 million readers around the world, and I've got to believe that circulation continues to go up with the amount of baby boomers that are really searching out there for, you know, this impact side. So it isn't like this was totally a new genre, I'll call for you, but the fact that you saw it come out by going to very remote places of the world.
Yeah, and this started sort of unintentionally. I had a chance to volunteer in New Orleans about 9 months after the flooding, after Katrina, and without really even thinking about it or whether I was qualified, I took it. And that led to a stint. My wife and I taught in Costa Rica, and I kind of at that point had thought, okay, well, this is, I've done my little shtick here, you know, of trying to help others. And then you kind of realize, well, wait a minute, that was just the start. That wasn't the actual journey. And so after that, I made a very conscious effort to try and embrace that idea of leaving my comfort zone. I thought, okay, I want to go places that intimidate me a little bit. I want to do things I haven't done. And it really is a process of discovery. And you, that's one of the great things about travel, is it pulls you out of your routine. And you kind of are able to take a step back and look at your life. And I've found through that process, I realized how much I cherished my own life. And again, that's one of the great things about travel.
And your book's been out how long now?
It came out in the summer, but it's amazing. I find I'm getting constant, you know, every day people are telling me, oh, our book club is doing this book, I'm getting tweets, and we just had a great talk here locally. About 60 people came, and so it's really been picking up momentum. It's been great.
And then also your connectedness. I think our listeners should know that Ken's book, The Voluntourist, he gives proceeds back to the organizations that he helped, he contributed to. What's been their response to read about themselves, shall we say, in the book?
Well, that's been an interesting thing across the board, because it's, you know, it's my life, but you know, all of my friends and family are characters, if you will. So I changed the names, but mm-hmm. I think it was both fun and strange for people to see themselves, you know, portrayed, you know, because we all picture ourselves in a certain way, and then, you know, sometimes that's not how others see us. But as far as working with the organizations, that's really been the best part of all of this. And money we gave to a trust in Kenya for the children's home where I worked, that paid for annual school fees for 9 of the kids, and
fabulous.
So that was really gratifying, and that's without question been the best part of this.
Well, last week we had Bruce Frankel, who wrote the book, What Should I Do with the Rest of My Life? And he spotlighted an individual. She's now the oldest living member of the Peace Corps. She's 83. She joined when she was 63. So not necessarily someone thinks about what they're going to do in their encore part of their life, but she's bit by the bug, shall we say, and ever so active out in the Peace Corps. The idea that finding impact, and like you say, multiple encore careers, shall we say, you call them a midlife crisis, I'll call it encore careers that want to come to us. So what do you think's next for you? Do you find another book, another trip, another series of trips that are coming your way in the course of this exploration or this journey of yours?
Well, yeah, I've discovered, you know, this book really was a journey, and you start at point A and you wind up at point B, and then what you realize is that it's not over at that point, you know, that their crossroads just continually come up. And I've decided life is not an interstate, and nor should it be. But I've started thinking about another book, which after I read the first one, I was like, well, I'm not doing this again. That was a lot of work. But, yeah, I'm starting to think about another book. And I have wanted to take my wife some of the places where I went, because she didn't come with me. And I've had a real sense of incompleteness about that. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about going back to Ecuador sometime in 2013. I'd like her to see that, and I'd like to revisit some of the places where I volunteered. And these connections that I made have just continued. And it's, you know, like I say, I go on Facebook, and with the situation in Gaza, I've seen a lot of people from the West Bank posting mm-hmm. things. The gentleman who ran the climate change project where I worked in Ecuador, he emailed me recently. He'd been in Quito and found the book in an English bookstore. So that's been another unexpected benefit of this, is that you make these connections with people around the world, and it changes how you see them, and it changes how they see Americans, and that has been ongoing ever since I traveled.
I love that. In fact, your statement here just now, that life is not an interstate. Yeah, that's right, because then if you treat it like that, you're going to go way too fast and not get the opportunity to really live life. Well, Ken Budd, the author of the book, The Voluntourist, for our listeners, you can go to www.thevoluntouristbook.com. His 7 quick ways to help others in less time than it takes to roast a turkey. By all means, you could send me an email to change@thelarsongroup.com. I'll get you a copy of that article. But it was 1, stare at a stranger. 2, take a giblet-sized view of volunteering. Do absolutely nothing. I think I like that one. Play games to fight hunger. My kids will pick up on that one. Raise money while surfing the web. Turn deals into donations. And just think about giving. And in fact, today we are going to be raffling off a copy of Ken's book. So send a simple text message of DRZARA. You're going to send that to 3131, 3131, 3131. Or you can send an email message to change@thelarsongroup.com. Or also you could call us toll free free, 877-544-2580. We've got a copy of Ken's book, The Voluntourist. So, Ken, you're off on another journey. You don't know quite yet when it's going to begin, but guarantee that it will, and obviously with a lot of insights and others fueling you along the way. We wish you the very best, and thanks again. A happy Thanksgiving weekend for contributing to our show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.